Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I guess first you look at the paper, we're way more athletic than them. That's just true facts, you know. But we know at the end of the day we have to go out and prove it. We know we got to go out and, you know, be dominant. But we're gonna face them just like any other day. You know, they got the same guys over there. I mean, we're motivated. I'm sure they're motivated. So we're just going to go head-to-head and see what happens. But, you know, I think we got a pretty good shot of, you know, keep whooping on them. And I think that's what we're going to try to do with every team that comes in or every team we go to, just try to win. So, you know, they're no worries either. they put on their pants just like we do.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on The Score.
It's Tim Anderson, very confident, as always. It's Parkins and Spiegel on The Score. What do you think the origin? Do anyone know the origin of they put our pants legs on like one at a time just like we do? Who's the first person to say that? It's a great expression.
I'm on it. Hold on.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Shane. That's excellent use of time. Danny, I think it's the same guy who said that you don't have legs to stand on, don't have table legs to stand on. I think it's the same. It's the same dude, just a dude sitting around thinking of leg.
Making leg analogies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Johnny Leg Analogy was the guy who did that.
It was a question that I knew no one would have an answer to, so it was probably a bad question, but we can find it out.
I got the answer. So the majority of the internet believes that it started in the SNL episode with Christopher Walken when they did the Blue Oyster Cult sketch where he said, I put my pants on just like the rest of you, one leg at a time. Majority of people think that's where it came from. And by the majority of people, I mean the first thing that popped up when I Googled, where did it come from?
I think that was a reference to something else. Or it felt like it was already part of the lexicon at the time.
The top result on Google
said that
it was the first one. So I guess at this point, that's just what it is.
No, I'm serious. Like, if we give Tanny the power, anytime he plays, there's no way to know. We just immediately have to change the subject. Immediately just stop wondering the question that we're asking. That's a lot of power, but I think he deserves power.
Yeah, you
power.
Be careful how much power you give me in that regard about changing topics.
Exactly. Changing topics. Okay, he hates the show often.
But asking a question. If we're seeking a question and Tanny decides either we're not going to know or it would take too long or it just doesn't matter, get back to talking about something better.
There's no way to know.
Yeah.
Okay. It's over. Again, Joel Corey will join us at 3:25. So these guys gave me a lot of crap for saying that I was going to bet on the White Sox to win.
No. Backtrack. There's history behind this. It didn't just start over the weekend. Don't try to mislead our listeners yet again.
When did I do that before? When would I do that
after
before?
After you mushed our team in the 2020 postseason.
Yeah, that happens.
That's where the start of this. That's where the crux of it is. This incident over the weekend probably would have been okay if had it not been for the previous infraction.
Okay, well, you worked with Bernstein for a long time. You know a little
Who's
thing about you know anything about sample size, Tanny? So one time in a pandemic,
small sample size.
Yeah, in a pandemic, I tweeted about and bet on the White Sox, and that bet lost. And so this year, still in a pandemic, I've decided, you know what, the Dodgers are really good. So I don't know about the whole World Series thing, but
But I'm going to be watching a lot of White Sox games, more so than normal. I'd like to have a little something invested in the success of this team, in addition to just my friends being happy and the city being happy and it being good content for the show. And so I want to bet on them to win the American League pennant at about 4.5 to 1.
And my understanding of this, and that's great. That's a fun bet. It's another one. It's much like the Bulls to make the playoffs bet. Like, it's reasonable and it's exciting and it'll be good for you, good for your enjoyment and the show. And I'm still not ready to say, you were right. I was wrong about gambling. But still, what does this represent to our White Sox men here, Tanny and Shane? One, the host of Locked On Sox, one, a theoretically passionate White Sox fan who is relatively new to the Sox fan scene, it would seem to me, in Shane. But, like, what are these guys? Who are they?
What? I think he just called you a new White Sox fan.
Where the hell did that come from? I've got pictures of, you know, sitting in the front row when I wasn't even a year old yet. My dad had season tickets.
Do you? Okay, so I need to know. I'm going to need your White Sox fan resume, is what I'm saying. I'm going to need that. So go ahead, give that to me, please.
I think you just did.
That sounds like a great use of time.
He was in the front row.
There's no way to know.
He was, damn it. It's just way too much power. Okay. So,
but what does it represent to them? They're, like, offended that you would possibly bet on the White Sox, I believe, is where this stands. Is that fair, guys?
Well, he's Danny Mush, first and foremost on that. I mean, I have my theories. Last year, when the White Sox became sort of like a sleeper pick to win the World Series after they, you know, halfway through the season last year. And I remember my guy Joe O placed a bet on them, but he didn't make it. He maybe made it public late, but once he made it public, I feel like Danny went in there and made his bet after Joe put it out there. And then all of a sudden they went into the turlet right after that. Because after Joe bet them, they were fine for a while.
Okay.
Because, you know, Joe asked me what I thought of it. I gave him my reasons why. Yeah, I could see it maybe as a long shot. But yeah, then Danny comes in, and then they just, boom, they clinch, and they go right into the tubes.
That did happen. They did lose, like, 9 of 12 games after I made the bet and made it public. That is absolutely true, but I would say that was correlation and not causation.
And you know what? They attributed to a lack of edge, and then they went out and signed Adam Eaton, so I'm putting that on you too.
So enjoy. Oh, no! This is terrible.
Like, had they not lost the edge, a.k.a. you betting on them, then they wouldn't have had to sign Adam Eaton.
But so I'm not trying to get on any bandwagon here. I'm not trying. I am a Cubs fan. I am a North Sider. But I want to bet on the White Sox without having Shane and Tanny get mad at me. And so is that a problem? What do I need to do? Do I need to, like, sacrifice something to the White Sox gods? A bucket of fried chicken? Like, what do I need to do to bet on the White Sox to win the damn pennant in a pandemic with your blessing?
No, there's going to be no sacrifice needed.
What will Arturis Karnishovas do with his gift from the basketball god?
It's a good question.
Sacrifice needed, but what you're going to have to do is you will have to purchase a White Sox authentic jersey and wear it somewhat often. You have to show that your interest in this is deeper than just to line your own pockets. You minimize this team left and right. You're always talking about how they're the little brother, how they don't mean anything. It's a new era, buddy. Your payment is a White Sox jersey. We might even let you pick the player.
Pick a player.
I like that.
It's a great bit. We should bring it back.
But you're going to have to use your own money to buy a White Sox jersey and wear it on a somewhat regular basis. I think that's very fair.
Oh, man, that's I like that. Shane, question from the Peanut Gallery. Does it have to be a jersey? What if he, because I know he's partial to
hoodies. Can't be a $20 t-shirt, can't be a t-shirt jersey. Doesn't have to be like the $300 authentic jersey. But, like, I bought a Liam Hendricks jersey today. The site's 25% off. I paid like $112 for it. That's pretty fair. If I can pay $112 for a jersey, can pay $112 for a jersey.
I think we have a no on a hoodie. Is that where we are?
Yeah, no on a hoodie. That's boring.
Oh, boy. That's
like when we paid off the Notre Dame bet, he half-ass strapped some red sideburns on and threw on a Notre Dame sweatshirt. Yeah, dude, that's what leprechauns wear.
Sorry, I didn't have a full leprechaun outfit available, okay? I bought the beard and the hat and a Notre Dame shirt, and I paid off the damn wager on Twitch. Well,
A small green suit, a little miniature, like Billy Barty-sized green suit is what you should have been wearing to pay that off.
Do you have a small green suit laying around, or would you like me to go to the leprechaun
shop.
Store and buy a green suit to pay off a bet? That's
I believe it's called End of the Rainbow is the leprechaun
is the name of the store. Okay, yeah. Well, because here's the thing, I don't want to be I am not converting to like White Sox fandom, and I don't want to be accused of that. So I want to be able to still make my jokes.
Oh yeah, see that's where it gets tricky, because you're trying to balance being, I don't know, credible, I think is what you're going to like.
No. I don't want to be seen as like it's not a bandwagon hopper. They're really good. Uh-huh. They're really likable. We're going to be talking about them a lot. They've got a lot of guys on the team who are fun. Like, I really enjoy talking to Liam Hendricks. I enjoy talking to Tim Anderson. I enjoy talking to Lucas Giolito. I enjoy talking to Michael Kopech. There are a lot of dudes on that team that we've had really good conversations. James McCann was another. He's not here anymore. But like, there's a lot of guys who we've had a lot of really good moments with.
It's a very likable bunch. I agree that it's a likable bunch.
All right, so here's your solution. Doesn't have to be a player. You can choose between the white with black pinstripes or the black alternate away jersey, and it's Parkins, and the number is 18.
I don't like that at all. I'd rather wear a Kopech than highlight that I have to be the 18th.
Chicago on the front. Chicago on the front. Parkins,
like a White Sox.
18.
Yeah, a White Sox custom Parkins 18 to mock me for being the 18th.
Or Machado.
Oh,
Machado.
That signifies too much currently, frankly. You know?
They just... Like what? Some
no,
people
your relationship with Machado and that history just it represents
too much. Yeah, all right, that's fine. So, well, what would you prefer, Shane? A Tony La Russa jersey, a Kopech jersey, or a Parkins 18 jersey? Which would you prefer?
All right, just think it out loud here. If we're gonna go the jersey route, I would go Parkins 18. Tanny, what do you say?
That's a really good idea. I
like Parkins 18, or we can pivot this way.
Because also, like, when we get to go to a game, like, people will see the Parkins 18, yeah. And they'll start lining up. They'll follow you around like the Pied Piper of buying beers.
Yep.
And you just, you know, you'll have a crowd behind you. They'll follow that 18 down to the craft cave.
What's so embarrassing, though, is, like, I don't want – who wants to wear a personalized jersey of
Nobody.
Themselves?
This is not Nobody. For your pleasure. This is punishment.
Yeah.
This like, is I don't this know why you thing. Think we're trying to make you feel good here.
Okay. Right. Okay. So as long as, but that's okay.
I have a lot of jerseys. The Blackhawks were very giving for a while there. So I have Hawks sweaters. Like I've got a Bears jersey. I've got stuff. I never wear those things with my own.
It's uncomfortable.
It's embarrassing. You're advertising yourself. Look at me. Look at me. It's no. Fun.
That's not my problem.
Yeah. Coming from the same guy who won't change his caller ID because he wants restaurants to see that it's him calling.
Wait, no, that's a twist of your own. I just said that I wanted to change my caller ID because it might be dangerous because the dude at the pawn shop knew who I was, and I'm worried about, you know, I have a child and a family.
You've had
that
so
I'm
much time
about.
To change it, and you haven't yet, so excuse me for assuming.
All right, so in order to be able to make the bet on the White Sox to win the pennant, but not be accused of being a bandwagon hopper and allow you guys to risk the mush, I have to purchase a Parkins 18 White Sox personalized jersey and wear it, which will be humiliating for two reasons, because I'm wearing a personalized jersey and because it's embarrassing that there are 17 Chicago media personalities better than me. So that's your price?
Correct.
It's a very good price.
It's easy. Very good price.
We'll go down to Grandstand after a show. I ordered my Ed Farmer jersey from them, so I go pick it up there.
Fine.
Make it for you. Oh, it'll be
done.
It's awesome.
That's beautiful. I love that you ordered a Farmer jersey. That's beautiful. Let me all right, this is good. I like that price a lot, boys. Let me ask you a question, Tanny and Shane, since you're both such hardcore White Sox fans and have been forever, since you were one, I believe. There's pictures from you guys going way back. The mush, if Danny's the mush and he's the cause of what they lose, 9 out of 11 or 9 out of 12 to stumble to the finish.
You don't need to look at that. Don't even go that far. Just look at that final game in Oakland and tell me that's not a team that was not mushed.
Well, but here's I understand. But here's my question. If you're blaming Parkins for the whole descent and the game 3 loss, then you're also kind of blaming him. Does Ricky get fired without that descent? Without losing 9 of 12? Without the crumble?
Probably,
I don't know.
Yeah. Probably.
I don't know about that. If it's only a game 3 mismanagement, because the crumble was pathetic, and it was obvious, and we all knew it and felt it, and they did too. I don't know if Ricky gets fired without the Parkins infused crumble.
If Jerry's not the owner, then maybe not. But I think Jerry was dead set on bringing his guy in here regardless.
Yeah, we don't know when that conversation happened. We don't know what night that was promised in Arizona.
You know that conversation has been happening for years.
Absolutely, absolutely. But definitively, now's the time, you know?
Cool, man. So you know, an older man lost his job because of Danny. That's cool, man. However you want to frame it.
That's what I'm saying.
And an even older man got the job.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You're the same guy who said you would put yourself number two in the line for the vaccine, and you're firing the elderly. You're taking their lives and firing them.
He's firing.
That's also out of context.
Danny, didn't he not say, I would do anything to be number two in line for the vaccine, regardless of who's behind me?
I think you're paraphrasing, but yeah, that's somewhere along the lines. Yeah.
So also, Parkins, in a baseball sense, is responsible for an entire fan base having to adjust to Tony La Russa being their manager.
He said it was 0%.
Say it was 0%. I mushed that, too. I did mush that. That I will actually own.
Well, with those two things together, it is your fault that a clubhouse has to adjust, that Tim Anderson has to be open and honest and eventually agreeable about this.
I'm just going to be, okay, all right, fine. Parkins 18, White Sox. Shane, can you make it for me?
Yeah. Or do I have to? I can do it. You're going to have to give me your credit card number, social security number, and blood type.
Are we sure we want to go with the traditional? Do we want to go the 83 maybe, the throwback
It's a good idea.
What do we think?
Let's see. I'm going to go on the website now.
Yeah, I'll do a throwback. That's fine. Whatever you guys want, just buy the jersey. Yeah, thank you.
What size are you, like a child's medium?
Thank you. Large, and in charge. Long arms over here.
But this team, the offense of this team, has the potential to take us back to the Southside Hitmen. So how about the Southside Hitmen uniform with the giant collar, the stuff that Chris Sale sliced?
Those are very hard to find, Speaks.
Yeah, I don't think you can customize those ones.
Trust me.
Really?
Yeah.
So you don't want to do a knockoff? Because I'm sure the knockoffs are there.
No, we don't do knockoffs.
Okay,
no.
Well then.
Because if I'm going to go to games with Danny, I can't have that.
Well, there's no way that there's somebody within the sound of our voice who can get that officially made for Danny. That person must exist right now.
I really negotiated against myself here, because I think if I would have not put up any resistance at the beginning of this, I could have gotten off with getting a Kopech jersey. But now it's a Parkins 18 jersey.
Or you can just buy us a bunch of stuff and we'll call it a day.
All right,
reimburse Shane for his jersey purchase.
The credit card and the social and what else? Your mother's maiden name, did he ask for, or whatever?
Danny,
passwords.
Whenever we put in this order, you could throw something in the cart, and I'm happy to splurge for you.
Wow, look at you. You're like, damn.
Whatever you want.
Get something for yourself on there, Chicago.
Water down the infield, Chicago.
I can't wait till all of us get together for a shellfish tower and some gout. It's going to be an absolutely glorious thing. Shellfish Tower Friday is coming up on the score. But before that, Joel Corey is an ex-NFL agent. He's kind of a salary cap guru now for the NFL. How does the Bears' cap space relate to the other teams? Where can they create cap space? The franchise tag on Allen Robinson. We're going to talk Bears' finances heading into the next year as the offseason really gets underway today with the franchise tag window opening. Joel Corey next on the score.
Where does the potential decrease in next year's salary cap, you know, it's been reported to be up to $23 million. How does that affect your long-term planning, and has that affected negotiations with Allen Robinson about a contract extension?
You know, we're still working through some of the details and waiting on some of the details with the salary cap. We have an idea what the floor will be, JJ, and, you know, once we're given those parameters, look, the whole league's operating under the same rules. And as we always do, I got a lot of confidence in Joey Lane as we work through that. There's some curveballs. But we're confident we'll work through it, and that's not going to prevent us from doing the things that we want to do.
That's Ryan Pace talking about the Bears' salary cap situation, which on paper does not appear to be very good, but like he said there, a lot of teams in a similar situation because the cap is going down. Today, the first day where the franchise tag can be imposed on players on a roster, of course, Allen Robinson, centered focal point of that conversation potentially for the Bears. So want to welcome on our next guest. We'll have Vinny Goodwill on at 4 o'clock. He's a former sports agent, and now whenever we have him on, he just makes us smarter. You should be following him on Twitter, at Corey Joel. Read his stuff at CBS Sports. He makes everyone smarter about football and the money component that goes into it. Joel Corey with us on the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park. Joel, as always, thanks for the time, man. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How are you guys doing?
We're good. Thanks, Joel.
We're doing very well. Let's just start broad here. How is the Bears cap situation relative to not only where they rank in terms of cap space, but like the ability to free up more cap space if they wanted to compared to the rest of the league?
Well, anybody can free up cap space. It's just whether you want to cut enough players and restructure enough contracts. So that's really not the issue to me. In terms of space, the league average in terms of cap room is basically, if the cap's 180, having about 8.5 to play with. The Bears are on the other side of the equation. Right now they got 47 players under contract. 51 is what counts during the offseason. So you're going to have to actually have more guys come on to where they are right now. So really sitting about almost $10 million over. But that can easily be remedied by there's some obvious cuts and a couple of guys to restructure as well.
Have you looked at the obvious cuts for the Bears? Jimmy Graham, I think, would be $7 million. Bobby Massey, 5.4. Do you expect those two, among others, Joe?
Yeah, Graham's an obvious one. I was surprised they signed him for what they did, given what he did in Green Bay. That was a surprise to me. I just would have kept Trey Burton instead, since you were going to pay him part of a guarantee anyway. But, yeah, You pick up seven that way. Question is, do you want to go – two new tackles, just one new tackle. So Massey, you get 5-1. Charles Leno, if you wanted to go that route, but then you got to replace both guys, you pick up 6-2 a cap room if you did it conventionally, or $9 million on a post-1 designation. Can't imagine Buster Screen's going to be back. You'll find another slot corner. You can pick up almost 2.75 that way. Then you got to decide what to do with Kyle Fuller. He's in the final year of his contract. He's got the voidable years, which were there for proration purposes for a restructure. But he's got the second highest cornerback number, $20 million. So you got to decide, is he an extension guy? Because it's hard to keep a guy at a $20 million number when the cap's going down. Then Khalil Mack has the second highest defensive player number in the league at $26.646 million. If you converted him, and he's a safe guy to convert because he's first-team all-pro caliber guy, you could pick up $12 million in cap space just by converting $16 million of his base salary into signing bonus.
Interesting. A lot of good info, obviously, right there, Joel. So how do those conversations go when a team goes to a player, whether it's Kyle Fuller or whether it's Khalil Mack, and say, you know what, we need to do something about your number? Like, how often do they just get asked to do a favor, or is it always with the assumption of an extension and more security for the player?
Well, teams got smart because they got tired in the late 90s, early 2000s of agents doing something I did once and got cursed out by a team executive, because we didn't want to just do a simple restructure because I'm doing you a favor. So I want something in return. I was like, we need a modest bump because we did it the year before, didn't want to do it again. Now what teams have done for the most part is stick automatic conversion rights into the addendums of the contract, so the player does not have a choice on a simple restructure. That he has to – the team decides how much they want to convert, and then there's also language in the contract which says if the player doesn't sign a new contract executing the change, he is in default or breach of contract. So – you never have an issue with stuff like that. Occasionally you have a couple of teams like Seattle, the only guy really on the team, Russell Wilson, has automatic conversion rights. If they wanted to go to Bobby Wagner, then that's a negotiation because that's not in his deal. But for the most part around the team, around the league, teams have gotten smart to avoid the situation I first described, or I didn't want to do a team a favor.
So I wonder, so different teams are obviously – different in terms of their skills or their artfulness or their, you know, the way they deal with that. What's the reputation for the Bears among agents in terms of, you know, how they talk to players, how they talk to you, the frequency? We're trying to figure out if Allen Robinson is disgruntled because of the way it's been handled. or just how long it's been? How do you? What's the Bears' reputation in that way from an agent's perspective?
Well, when Cliff Stein was negotiating contracts, he was an agent's nightmare because I don't know how he consistently got agents to do or got players' agents to take deals, which would scratch my head, particularly rookie contracts pre-rookie wage scale. Now, if Allen Robinson, anytime that you don't want to pay a guy at his level what he thinks he's worth, there's going to be some acrimony. So I think maybe players get take it personally sometimes, and I think maybe he did start taking a little bit personally. The buffer is the agent, and the agent's supposed to be more detached than the player typically. But money smooths everything over, so you'd have to basically create $27 million in cap space just to be in a position to franchise him. By that, I mean that to, one, get under the cap, then afford the tag. His tag number won't be the formula number because of his salary. It's the 120% increase of last year's salary provision, which kicks in. So you're talking $17.88 million to franchise him. He seems to be open to returning, but that's not going to be a cheap deal. Think Keenan Allen type money. I think that's what he wanted before. I don't think that's changed. Keenan Allen signed an extension right around the time you guys were negotiating with Allen Robinson for slightly over $20 million per year and $50 million in guarantees. So that's what he's probably still looking for.
And so we're talking to Joel Corey. This is great stuff. I know it's a little tough and convoluted to follow, but you do a great job of like synthesizing it down. So in your mind, what is the easier path for the Bears? Like, if I were to tell you they have to bring Allen Robinson back because they have no other good offensive players on their team, what is the easier thing to do cap-wise? Manipulate it for a franchise tag or sign him to an extension with a lower cap number in the first year?
Well, the easiest thing is to get the deal done before you have to worry about the franchise tag.
Yes.
Because you really don't want $17.88 million eating up on the cap in a year with a cap was conservatively projected to be 210 pre-pandemic, and now we're looking at 180 in a worst-case scenario. So cap goes down at least $18 million from where it is now, and you're sticking a tag about that much on the books. You really don't want that situation. So if you really want Allen Robinson back, then you probably need to come very close to what he wants to get this thing done. Now, the thing is, once a player incurs the risk of poor performance and injury and plays out his contract, at least my opinion when I was an agent, if I went through all that, we successfully navigated it, you're paying me what I want to forego free agency. I think if Allen Robinson gets in free agency, he's as good as gone.
So, okay, so what do they need to do then to put the tag on him? You were talking about that $27 million number. I mean, the deadline to do it is still a ways away, right? But so in theory, we could be seeing quite a few moves quickly to free up cap space if they're going to put the franchise tag on Allen Robinson.
Yeah, you've got time. You got till March 9th at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So Graham's 7 right there. If you redo Mac, that's 19 right there. Massey gets you to 24. Screen basically gets you to 27, so you're basically there. Maybe you try to extend Akeem Hicks because you got to figure out what to do with him as well. Mm-hmm. He's in the final year of his contract, so he's got a $12 million cap number. So you really don't want him playing out on that. So you either extend him. The defense is great. That's the where the success is. So maybe you try to work on him simultaneously as well.
But they also need a quarterback,
yeah.
Joel.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, that's where the whole Kyle Fuller thing comes in. What do you want to do with him? If you cut him, you save $15.5 million. He's probably not going to take anything less than what he signed for last time. But then again, do you really want to start messing with the defense? So then it comes back, what do you do with Charles Leno? Do you want to have two new tackles or just one?
So if they had been able to pull off a Carson Wentz deal, right, or if they were in a miracle situation, were able to pull off a Deshaun Watson deal or even a David Carr deal, how much would they have to do to fit that person in? Like, are you talking about everything that you're describing to fit Allen Robinson in, plus no Allen Robinson? Like, could they? How difficult would that have been to acquire, say, Carson Wentz is 32, or what's Deshaun's, 35 or something like that? You know, would they be able to get Allen Robinson and a $25 million quarterback this offseason?
Well, the thing is, it's not their average you're looking at. You look at the salary that they have in 2021. That's what the acquiring team has to absorb. Mm-hmm. The bonus proration stays with the old team. So in Wentz's case, you would need $25.4 million to absorb his entire salary. Now, once you did that, you could convert the $10 million roster bonus had he come there. So maybe you guys dodged a bullet there based on what he did last year. Deshaun Watson, different equation. He's making $10.54 million in 2021, so that's all you need for him to fit him into the cap. Big difference. Derek Carr, almost 20. So a little bit different in between the two. So it all varies on what that particular quarterback is supposed to make in 2021. With Watson, the numbers balloon after that. Then they get into the $30 million or more for each of the remaining 4 years after this year.
So let's just – we're talking to Joel Corey, former NFL agent, CBS Sports, at Corey Joel on Twitter. Prediction time. You know, what moves do you think Ryan Pace is going to have to do to manipulate the cap over the next couple of weeks before that March 9th deadline?
I'd probably cut Jimmy Graham, probably cut Buster Screen, restructure Khalil Mack, probably restructure Kyle Fuller as well. One or both tackles could be gone, and hopefully, if you can get Allen Robinson to sign, if you want to go small first-year cap number, ballooning second-year cap number, which you may see more teams doing with the cap going down, then it's not going to be anywhere close to 17.88 to fit him in 2021 on a long-term deal.
Very interesting stuff. Super helpful, Joel. And obviously the specifics matter so much, and you know them all as we're talking about it. One wild card question before we say goodbye. As baseball hurtles towards a terrible CBA disagreement that a lot of people think is going to be a strike, there basically is a salary cap with that competitive balance tax. It's a de facto cap. There is no floor, and it's a huge issue for baseball. Obviously, the salary cap and salary floor for the NFL, it benefits the owners. Is there a benefit for the players in having a salary cap floor and a cap? Like, are the players better off that there is a floor? It seems that's an obvious yes, but I just want to ask you from the union's perspective, from the players' perspective.
Yeah, you need a floor. I just don't think the union did enough in getting the floor changed. It used to be 89% of the cap in cash over a four-year period. Now it's going to be over a three-year period. In the NBA, it's 90% of the cap every year. So I would rather it be no more than a two-year period, ideally one, because then that forces you to spend each year, because you could have a situation where you don't spend money for 2 years, and the third year you spend like crazy to be compliant. And that may not necessarily be ideal for the players, but nonetheless, it's not baseball where their cut of the revenues keeps going down each year. And I'm throwing out the pandemic part of it. Even before the previous couple of years, they've gone down because you don't have a minimum spend. You have teams who are basically trying to tank and not spend money in baseball, which is going to be a huge one of the reasons why you're probably going to have a strike.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that was a fun way to end it, Joel. Joel Corey, CBS Sports, at Corey Joel. We always get smarter after listening to you. Thanks, man. We really appreciate you always being available for the show.
Sure, anytime. Thanks for having me.
Joel, thank you. See, that's the thing, Danny. I think somebody needs to sell the MLB Players Union on having a floor, having a salary floor and a cap. Like, it's just cleaner, even if it has its pluses and minuses. And maybe they would do it if the MLB owners were open about the revenue and they don't open the books. And we all know that's why it ends up being a non-starter. But the owners clearly want a cap. Okay, then give the players a floor so they know that they're going to survive. You know, that they know that teams aren't going to do the tanks that disrupt the market so much. So, yeah.
Always having to derail my football conversation with your baseball. Classic Spiegs. And then what a dismount to an interview from Joel Corey. And that's why there's probably going to be a strike.
Good night,
okay,
everybody.
Good. Thanks. That was fun. So he floated the possibility of Kyle Fuller cap casualty, mentioned, of course, cutting Buster Skrine and Jimmy Graham, a Khalil Mack restructure, and that's just to have a shot at a franchise tag of Allen Robinson, to be able to extend the franchise tag to Allen Robinson. Going to be a busy couple of weeks for the Bears. We can talk about other guys who you might have to move on from if you want to get crazy in the veteran quarterback market before Vinnie Goodwill at 4 o'clock on The Score.
I mean, it's nothing to take personal, you know, in general. You know, and at the same time, you know, I do have a great fondness for this city and for this organization. But unfortunately, in a situation like this, it's not the only thing that matters. But again, I mean, like I said, since day one, you know, I have a ton of respect, you know, for the organization from the McCaskey family, you know, again, from the Payton family, you know, our front office, our coaching staff and everybody. And I think everybody knows that. But, you know, like I said before, you know, sometimes in things like this, you know, there are more things that weigh out than the fondness or something.
So great stuff from Joel Corey. That, of course, there, Allen Robinson. It's Parkins and Spiegel on The Score. We're going to transition, talk a little Zach LaVine in the NBA with Vincent Goodwill at 4 o'clock. So we knew they were in a bad cap situation. You can always manipulate the cap. Khalil Mack, being what he is an asset here because being able to restructure roster bonuses to signing bonuses is easy. They get the money. Like, you know what I mean? Like you were talking about, do players have to be open to it?
Do they have to be talked into it? Does it always have to come with an extension? Most of them don't care and will work with you on it because they still get the same amount at different
times. Well, in that case, it's the easiest one to do because it's like, I was going to get the bonus in this way, but now right. I get the bonus in this way, and this way doesn't count against the cap. So that's an easy one to do. So expect in the next few weeks, Khalil Mack restructures contract with Bears. That is going to be a headline to expect in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm really interested in how the Bears are perceived among the agent community and the player community, because that stuff matters. How you do it, how fast, how kind you are, how continuous you are. I mean, say what you will about the Cowboys and Jerry Jones, but they went through this with Zeke Elliott. You know, franchise, not to franchise, signed to an extension, not to sign to an extension, and ended up extending, right? Now they're doing it again with Dak for multiple years here. And that's a guy developing from fourth round to franchise quarterback and fighting off other people, et cetera, and going through an injury. And that relationship seems to be okay. Like even today we heard that they're still talking. And maybe that's part of it, is that they continue to be in touch. And Dak's number has gone up to $31 million. So he's feeling great about that, at least on the low end. But, you know, he seems to feel respected. Allen Robinson, it doesn't seem to me like he feels very respected. And I don't know how much of that is just the genuine, like Joel said, the acrimony that comes when this is the smart way to do business, and how much of it is the Bears not handling it like they should, and letting it get this far, and letting a guy that important feel this way for this long, you know?
I don't know the answer to that. I do know that, like, Allen Robinson's agent, Brandon Parker, went out there on Twitter and certainly gave some kindling to the fire, right? Like, he threw some gas on the fire with the idea of being disrespected in the communication and what more does my guy have to do and can we give him some red zone targets and that sort of thing. Allen Robinson has been very open about not wanting the franchise tag, which most veteran players do not want. My takeaway, it doesn't surprise me that your takeaway or one of the things you were very interested in there is like the relationship and are they being nice and kind and the vibe and the humanity of it all. My takeaway from that was...
That was so beautifully dismissive as well as just like...
football.
Yes.
I'm just saying, like, football, man, there's not a lot of space for feelings. Like, it is ruthless. The contracts are not guaranteed. They will cut you. Like, you know what I mean? And so...
They spit you out. And after they're done with you, like they care even less, and obviously, and everybody knows it. Matt Forte was on with Lawrence the other day talking about it in light of Vincent Jackson and myriad situations that we know about. Yeah.
It's just not a sport for your sensibilities in that way many, many, many times. There are exceptions, but the vast majority of it's not.
You're telling me that I'm too soft for football? Is that essentially what was just...
In some ways, okay. Yeah. And by the way, I'm too soft for football, like the game of football. But like the GM nature of it, I kind of enjoy.
Okay, and you think I'm too soft for even just the GM version? I'm too soft for fantasy football.
You're too soft for fantasy football and like franchise mode on Madden. That's how soft you are. Exactly right. Which is hilarious. But so if they have to do that much to get Allen Robinson,
yeah,
right. So step one, they have to do that much to get Allen Robinson. Step two, if we agree that they can't afford to lose Allen Robinson, man, they're not getting a veteran quarterback. Right. It's going to be Nick Foles and a draft pick.
Nick Foles and Mac Jones. Nick Foles and Mac Jones are your quarterbacks.
Right. And then the question is, how aggressive is Ryan Pace allowed to be in drafting a quarterback? Does it have to be at 20? Or would Ted Phillips allow it to be like their version of Jalen Hurts? Like, you know what I mean? The 50th overall pick, like a second-round pick or a third-round pick? Oh, or is it you can trade the 2022 first-round pick to move up from 20 to try to get into the top 12 to draft Trey Lance or Justin Fields if he falls or whomever? And it feels like monetarily that's where we're going here with the Bears.
How unbelievably perfectly Bears would it be to add – to their quarterback lineage, as I've said many times, a fan base defined by quarterback starvation. These days, The Athletic doing a slow rollout of, it seems like, 30 different articles, 30 different deep dives into every horrific Bears quarterback chapter imaginable.
It's never been less interested in anything The Athletic has written. Like, I'm sure it's great. I haven't clicked on one of them. No interest.
The Rick Meyer one was, I think Mike Sando wrote it, I believe. Rick Meyer's, it's unbelievable. And there are so many similarities to right now. It's terrifying. I was a producer for McNeil and Boris for that. So, but how would it be to add, it'd be so Bears to add this, that Ryan Pace trades up in a draft with historic greats in it and picks the wrong guy. And years later, is allowed to do it again. And whether it's the wrong guy or not, that he is actually allowed to trade up again for the quarterback of his choice. I mean, it won't be his choice. It won't be Trevor Lawrence, but, well, we're hoping it'll be more Matt Nagy's choice. I think so, and I feel a hell of a lot better about Matt Nagy choosing it than I do Ryan Pace. But still, it is going to be the same guy, the same GM. What other organization ever would allow a GM to do that twice?
I don't know. I don't know that there's many, to be honest with you. And you'll feel better about it because Matt Nagy's involved and he was there when the Chiefs drafted Mahomes.
Sure.
And I've said it all along, the most exciting thing your NFL team can do is draft a quarterback in the first round because if he hits, it's the most valuable thing in the sport. So we'll all be excited and try to talk ourselves into it, but it will be objectively terrifying that Ryan Pace will be ultimately responsible for drafting a quarterback for the Bears again after the failed Mitch Trubisky experiment. Yeah.
Insane. And I bet he would end up in a category of one of people who've been allowed to do that.
Trade up in the first round twice after missing so notably on the first one. Yeah, you're probably right.
Like 4 years later, essentially.
Trading up in the first round for right, because if you traded up in the first round and you hit, and then you were the GM for 15 years, and then you did it again,
sure,
different story. But yeah,
but it's a bust. Following the failure of a trade up quarterback to be allowed to do it again strikes me as a potential list of one. Now, look, I absolutely hold out a lot of hope that Matt Nagy will be much better at picking a quarterback. His best friend in the football world is Brett Veach, his old buddy from Delaware, and Veach is the one under Andy Reid who said that guy about Pat Mahomes. He's the one who said that's the guy after watching, I think, three games or four games, whatever it was, and he was the champion of it the entire time. So maybe.
I had a lot of good dinners with my friend Brett Veach. We went to steakhouse, and they brought out this beautiful T-bone. And they said, Mr. Mahomes, you're here with Brett Veach and Mr. Hardman. Do you want anything with your steak? I said, usually I just take a plain. Unless it's really good, then I put ketchup on it. And they said, Mr. Mahomes, the bathroom's right over there. I said, I can't walk over there. My toe hurts.
I understand. Is it true that as you were walking in the bathroom that a little girl came up and interrupted you and tried to start a conversation?
That is true. Yeah, okay. That is true. She's a stupid little girl. I can tell you that right now. She ruined a lot of things for me. She gave me a turf toe.
Congrats on becoming a girl dad, by the way. Your daughter was just born the other day.
Thank you so much. Hopefully she doesn't inherit my wife's gums.
Yeah, he didn't mention that. I mean, he's just got dad brain. You'd think that'd be the first thing he talks about.
That's a good question. Are enormous gums a recessive gene? Like, is that from the female? Is that the father of the...
I kick recessive gene out of my fantasy football league.
I would have, too. But Doorbell Tom is still there. Doorbell Tom and Verizon Lamo.
Are the Bulls good and will Zach LaVine be an all-star? Vinny Goodwill next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.